around us, and it begins to produce a negativity in our minds and our thinking, and we give up, and we quit. And yet we are in a time that, like, for instance, just recently they had actually sent a rocket up to Jupiter, and they have been doing some circlings up there for the future. And what's interesting about it is the fact they think that that's what's going to be our future. But in reality, we are in a training ground right now to become future God beings for the very kingdom of God. And we're going to be involved in a training session of all of the people that we're going to be working with from now on. From now on in this life, even as God calls more and more to become part of his family, we realize that it's our responsibility to be the examples to help them get ready too for the same job that God's calling them for. So it's not stopped yet. You know, the work of God continues on. It doesn't stop. Only God knows when it's going to stop. So many times we give ultimatums in our talking and in our discussing what's going to be happening in the future, that everyone says, well, I'm waiting for that time to come. Well, which are you waiting for? Are you waiting for, am I waiting for, the destruction that's going to happen in Baghdad? Am I waiting for the destruction that's going to be happening in other parts of the world? Or am I waiting on the time that all of that will be totally stopped and the kingdom of God will be given to this family on the earth as we train and grow in developing the rest of the family to be part of his family? And that's what we're looking forward to. It's an exciting thing when you think about all the ones that God's going to be calling between now and the time of the end for all of these things to take place. What I was doing this week was going through the scriptures and seeing some of the writings in the book of Daniel and seeing some of the writings in the book of Revelation. And all it was doom and gloom. Doom and gloom of the future. Are we looking at the doom and gloom part, or does that just lead us to the liveliness and the interesting part that God's going to play through us at the time of the end? Because by that time, we'll be part of his family, and we'll be able to teach all of those who will be going on into the millennial setting. So many times we look at the bad part of it. Yes, the scripture does say that there's going to be this tremendous battle in the Jerusalem area and the drawing of all of the armies and so on that's against God together in the huge, huge battle is going to take place. And it's called the Battle of Armageddon. In other words, it's going to be a very fierce battle. But what that's all about is to bring about peace. We're going to have that happen ahead of time, but that's not what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to what's coming after all of that. And that is all of our involvement as spirit beings in the family of God. And it's something that we have to work on. Because normally speaking, when you get around other people, how many people are interested in what other people are doing and how you can help them? How many times do we think of that? We need to think more of that, of gearing up our minds for the future, of being friendly to people and interested in people and interested in their salvation, not with the world's way of looking at it. We find that going on all over the place now today, where you have evangelists and you have all these other church people who are going out trying to convert the world to their way of looking at it. But what about God's way? And so many times people say, well, isn't that God's way? Aren't they following God's way? They're following parts of God's way. But they don't understand the fullness of what God has given for us today. And that's why we had a voice on the broadcast years and years ago, the World Tomorrow program, about what God is doing and what he's going to be accomplishing on this earth to bring peace and harmony and happiness to all mankind. And so we have to understand that that's what our responsibility is to as well. It's like, for instance, my wife and I look back on it as far as our children are concerned. And we remember even when they're just little tots, you know, growing up and going to school, when they would come back with questions about what to answer the teacher. And in fact, we even had one time the teacher called my wife and said, we think some of your children are converted. Because, see, they understood what to pass on in the childlike manner. And that's how we are today, too. We have and must pass on in a childlike manner God's way of life, but yet with the sincerity and the honesty and the integrity of knowing that it's true and it is going to come to pass. And it's going to be a beautiful thing for the future. So how would you fare if you were given a job and a responsibility of, let's say, 1,000 people? And just before the millennium comes, could you help 1,000 people get ready for the future? How would you handle that? Do you know the Word of God enough to show that you can teach them God's way because you love them and want to see them in the family and are looking forward to seeing them in the family and learning to work with? Can you imagine, I know it was hard for me when I thought about this, can you imagine working with 144,000 other members of the family? Because that's what the scripture talks about that's going to happen first of all there. Is 144,000 family members in the very family of God. That's going to come from this earth. God has given this earth, yes, this earth, we don't know how many thousands of years old it is. And we don't know exactly when God sent Jesus to create all the heavens above and the earth and all the other planets on this earth. We find that in Genesis, the first chapter. Now, all those things were done in the very beginning. And then we find that part of the angelic world failed and began to fall astray and began to teach wrong things about themselves as well as being part of the family of God. They think that they are integral part. But the part they had is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, which tells us that they were sent to help us become family members. So that was just an entourage of angelic beings that God created to be helpful instruments on this earth to help human beings, physical human beings, to become part of the very family of God. So when we look at the future, it's a whole lot greater and bigger than we think. And I know in my mind, I felt pretty small when I looked at what we were going to be doing, you know, for the future. But we may be small, but with the very power of God, we're really big. And we can accomplish a lot, and it can be done as fast as God inspires you and me to do it. And that's one of the things I looked at, too, as well, is that whenever we see what God is doing, it helps us be part of the family that we were begotten to be a part of. So many times when children are growing up in their family, physically speaking, they see their relatives, they see their uncles, their aunts, and all of the others. When we're growing up spiritually, we see fellow spirit members to be around us that we're working with and yearning to work with so that we can work together as a team to accomplish. When I look over every audience of every church that we pastored, and that was around, I think, 35 or 36 churches that we were part of, trying to help others become like what God wants us to tell them to become like Him. And when we saw all of that, we said, wow, that's a lot of people, and especially the average church back in those days was about 300 people. So that's a lot of people that my wife and I felt responsible for in the sense that we wanted to get across to them what had been given to us. And we learned it, of course, at Ambassador College and in all the churches we were in as well, because we learned as we went along too as well. Just like children and families learn from each other as they grow up in a family and are able to pass on good things too as well for all their other friends around them. And pretty soon you see a pretty good conglomerate group of people accomplishing what needs to be done. So when we look at ourselves even now, are we worried so much about whether or not somebody can get on the Mars and the Jupiter and some of these other things out in outer space? Well, it was interesting to me when I looked at some of the things that were headed in the direction that I was going as far as the sermon today even, and I thought, you know, it's kind of interesting that whenever God blessed Ephraim, over in the English area, and then Manasseh, of course, came to this country. When he blessed them, and when they had problems with people in their society, guess where they sent them? They sent them to Australia. Australia, in the very beginning, was one of the ones that England watched over, but they sent, first of all, those who were going to go to prison. So the prison camp was down in Australia. And they wanted to get all of these people that weren't doing right away from England, so they sent them to Australia. So now I ask myself the question, are we going to send all of the prisoners to Mars? What about Jupiter? You know. So when you think about that, it's beginning to be larger than one might think as far as what's coming on and what's going to be. In fact, there are several scriptures, I think about two scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about it, that if you're driven into the outer spaces and other parts of the universe, God says, I will bring you back from there. So now it tells me that we are going to be having, and probably some of it in our time today, where we have something going on with people who are on the moon, perhaps, and people who are on Mars or Jupiter. Are we going to have the ultimate ideas and concepts of how to be able to get the people there safely and to get them back safely and let the earth be, of course, the center part, you know, for all of that? Well, I don't know that all of that's going to happen in our lifetime. I just don't know. But I do know this, that God talks about it and talks about the growth and the pattern of his work and of all the people and so on that he's planning for the future to work with his people enough to get them ready to teach other people, and they teach other people as they grow up too as well. And pretty soon, this whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of God's way. Let's go back to Psalm, the 133rd chapter. Psalm, the 133rd chapter. And let's see what God inspired David to write through the Psalms. Psalms 133. If I can get my Bible to turn to it. Psalms 133. Notice what it says. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When I read that, I said, wow. That is really great, because I have seen now for quite some time in the Church of God at the feast days, the Feast of Tabernacles, where people are dwelling together in unity, marvelous, working with one another, and their friendliness and their way of working with other people is that if they know something about the Bible that they've read, they'll pass that on to someone else. And then someone else is going to pass it on to somebody else. And pretty soon it just goes to everybody. So it's something that we look forward to and something that we are actually in a pattern of learning to the place where we can really teach others the reality of it without it just being a lot of words, without it just being something, well, that's just your religion. I've got a different religion, et cetera, and so on. So we have to know how to deal with people in this world system when you ask questions, when you talk to them, when you utilize the scriptures and even add examples to it, that we can see how we're going to be helpful to other people. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down on the beard, even Aaron's beard, and it went down to the skirts and his garments. The dew of Hermon, and as the dew that was descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That's what came out of Jerusalem. And that should actually be part of us too as well, is that's what should be coming out of our mouths in our fellowship and looking to help other people. Because we're living in a time where the races of mankind are all scattered all over the world, and yet we're coming in contact with many of them too as well. Because when we see even Jerusalem itself, we find that other nations, as prophetically speaking, it talks about the king of the north and the king of the south. So there are things happening and things going on in that part of the world, which leads to the part that we're looking forward to in the future. We're looking forward to the time that we can be part of the family of God and we can go forward with strength and energy. Let's go to Proverbs, the 18th chapter now. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. And let's see where what God has to say there too. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. And verse 24. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Notice what it has to say. It says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. So that has to be part of our very nature. We develop the feeling for others with true friendship. Not the kind of thing, oh, that you're doing wrong, we're going to wait for the time that we can take care of you. No, we can give them hope for their future too as well. And there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And it's interesting that we know that all peoples on the face of this earth, once they are instructed God's way and become converted, are going to be our brothers and sisters. They're going to be our friends forever, for all eternity. And that's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to all these things happening. And notice in Proverbs 17 and verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, it says some other things there too as well, but a friend loves at all times. We want to show our love and our feelings for other people as we are going along in this life and growing and changing and overcoming. Let's go on now to John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter, and beginning in verse 12. John 15 and verse 12. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So when we deal with people, work with people, do we look on them as God looks on us? That's what we've got to think about. How does God do that? Notice it says, greater love has no man. Well, actually, verse says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. And greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's how close it is. And notice what he says in verse 14, and this is what we have to examine too as well with others around and what we see. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So if we see other people doing what God commands them, then they are our friends. And so he says, henceforth I call you not servants, or just any person out there, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. And he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's one of the things that we have to think about very strongly and very seriously too as well, because whenever God calls us and we are baptized, we receive a part of him in our mind. A begettal, it's called. We're begotten with the Holy Spirit of God, and that's the only reason we think the way we think and react the way we react, because we have the power of God. And so you're going to see good reactions, not bad reactions. You're going to see God working with us. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you, and that's through the power of the Spirit, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. And so God will. It's really interesting is that someone asked me some time ago now how do you have faith that God will do something? How do you believe that God will do something? And I said, according to his word. According to his word. What you see in God's word can and will be done, but we have to know that we believe it. Do we really believe it, or do we believe at it? And some people, they say, well, we know God said that, but will he do it for me? Well, what would you do for him? In other words, you could look at it both ways. What would you do for him? Would you be willing to give your life from now on to be a servant of God? Would you do that? In this world system, I don't know how many people would say yes. There may be some who might decide to do that, and if God's calling, he could, at that very point, call them to eternal life and make them part of the very family. So he said, these things I command you, that you love one another. We're in a world that God is using to create family members. So therefore, we are exuding what we as the first ones of the very family of God are expounding and giving to the public and those around us so they can understand their wonderful future. Because it is a wonderful future for all of us. This whole world is going to produce children for God. And it's all around this whole world. I know we thought in the very beginning, who was God calling? We went through all of the races of mankind. And when we went back to Genesis, then we saw that they were quite involved with what God was doing. The other races were, but in their own way and in their own place where God was sending them, what God was doing with them. And so we knew that God worked through Abraham's line, because otherwise Jesus wouldn't have said that. In Matthew 1:1, where it says that my beginning was through Abraham and David. That's where he came from. His birthright goes back through Abraham and David. So we know then that Abraham was called of God because he was Melchizedek. God gave him the power and the strength at the physical level, carry out the responsibilities on this earth, and it's carried on down to now. And does that bring on any problems? Skipping a little down to verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord, and if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So here was the Son of God on the earth, who had emptied himself of his divinity and came down and lived as a human being on the earth to go through what we're going through. And yet he remained perfect. He never sinned once while he was on the earth. And that's the reason that he is referred to as God. And Melchizedek is because he won't sin. He wants to obey God, serve God, do whatever God says to do. And so in this case, he came down here. And if they persecute you, they will, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So we find that if people's attitude and mind is right, then they will do what we even say if we're saying it for God to them and trying to inspire them and to help them for the future. But notice verse 26. He says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So a future prophecy, and of course happened in Jesus' time too as well, because he was with the Father. Makes you wonder who wrote this. Did the Father write this? Did this come from there, from that part? We always often thought that there were several areas in the Old Testament where the Father's writings were located as well. And if you look for it, you probably can find it. It's very, very hard sometimes to do that because the Son is just like the Father. And everything he gives is exactly what his Father said. It's not what he said back in the book of John. He said, everything that my Father gave me to give to you, I have given to you. I have given you all that information, you know, for the future. So that you can go forth and take my place after I'm gone and teach all people the same thing that I've taught you. So that's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. And when I was thinking about this, I said, that's quite a responsibility that we have been given. But the point of it is, we have part of the Father and Jesus Christ in us. We have the Spirit of truth in our minds. If we believe that, then we can accomplish it. We can do that. We can go forward. Because what we're doing now is we're training for, and I don't know when the end is going to come. I don't know if it's going to come in our time. We've gone through now about, 63 Feast of Tabernacles I have. And our this coming up will be, I guess, my 63rd or 64th. I haven't figured it out yet. Been so many. 1953 was my first feast, so you can figure out when it was. So it's a matter of realizing that I know that at least 60 years have passed. And is it going to be another 60? Will I live to be 120? I'd like to be at the end, but I don't know if God's calling me to be at the end. But I know, Father, that if the Father wills, it is possible for that to happen and for us to go on. And all of us here, too, to be together even, working together at the feast sites and other places as well, because we all have the Spirit and the mind of God, because we work toward doing what God wants us to do. Let's go to Luke, the 24th chapter now. Luke, the 24th chapter, and let's see what Jesus said concerning that. Luke, the 24th chapter, and it talks about the utilization here. Verse 13 of Jesus Christ. Luke 24, verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them." I saw that verse and I said, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Has that ever happened in your life or my life? Has Jesus done that from time to time and people not know that it was Jesus? You think about that. They're very much involved with what's going on down here. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. So it had to do with the eyes, or whatever, the mind, the brain, the eyes. And he said to them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, and as you walk you're sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, said to him, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which are come to pass in these days?" Don't you know that? I mean, you're here in Jerusalem, and have you known any of these things that's happening today? And he said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet." And here Jesus was with them. The prophet was there talking with them. That's kind of interesting too as well. "Mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel." And they didn't realize that he had to die to do that. "And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came and said that they had also seen a vision of angels." I thought that was interesting. Saw a vision of angels. Literally, vision, that's what they thought in their minds. The angels were there, which said that he was alive. "And certain of them which went with us to the sepulchre found it even so as the women had said." Kind of interesting, God used the women to get that message across. Sometimes that has to happen that way, people don't listen. Somebody else is, a woman may have a different capacity that God has given her to be able to do that, which he does. And he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. He expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Concerning himself. And they drew nigh to the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is spent. And he went in to tarry with them, or to wait with them, or just to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. How would you like that to happen to you or to me? Well, it would be really strange, and it would be different, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd say, well, Jesus would come and work with me. You know what I would say? He is. He's working with all of us through the power of the Spirit that was sent to us, which the Apostle John said in the chapter, I think it's chapter 4 of John, or 1 John, it says that the Spirit of the Father and Christ are in us. So therefore, we have the power to do what's right. We have the power within us to do what's right. What we have to do, as the Apostle Paul said when he said he was wrestling with his mind from time to time, that to make sure that the evil doesn't overcome the good, or the bad things that we would want to do doesn't overcome the good things that we should do. So it's a training ground for us, and as we learn to do that personally, we can also teach others around us to do the same thing and to get them acquainted with who really is their Father. It's really amazing that the world today just doesn't see or understand what we understand, because all they have is the Spirit that's in man. And they're looking for great things to be done, all right, but it's actually in the direction of the scientific area of life, where somebody is sent off to Mars, somebody is sent off to one of these other planets. And to them, that is really interesting. But you see, God made this earth to train us. Remember, even going back to chapter 11 of Genesis, you will find that they were building a tower to heaven. They were building a tower just shortly after the flood. Which meant, you see, they had super knowledge to be able to do that, but they couldn't do it as one individual. They had to have the input from all of the others. It's just like, for instance, what we did with sending someone to the moon, sending one to Mars, Jupiter, and all these other places. We actually gathered the information from Germany and from Japan, and from other areas of the world, to give us the ability and the knowledge, including Russia, by the way, too, to be able to get someone up there, to advance and go to heaven. But God intended for us to stay on the earth until it's over, as far as the training ground for those being called in the very family of God. He didn't necessarily want us going out to outer space. In fact, what he did back there in Genesis 11, he actually confused their language. And so they could not come up with the right answers to be able to go out there. Well, today, most people on the whole face of the earth speak some English, maybe not proficiently at times, but those in the world of the scientific world do speak English. Or they have somebody that can represent them speaking English when they tell us what they can do. And I know my wife and I were there at in Huntsville, Alabama, and actually went to the center there where they were talking about all of that. And you will find that Moshe Dayan was there, and probably Arafat was there too as well, because there was some debates going on between good and bad. And the one we thought was Arafat got up and asked him the question. You said that if Egypt gives us any more trouble, she will be no more. And he said, how are you going to accomplish that? Do you have the A-bomb? And I thought it was quite a wise answer that he gave. He said, all I can tell you is that if Egypt gets us into trouble, she will be no more. Just like that. That was the end of the conversation of seeing what was going to be happening in the future. And then, of course, later on you find there was a battle going on, the Six-Day War, and other things happened, which actually confused the issue for the church to a certain degree, because we were preaching prophetically that certain things were going to be happening. And at that time, I know leaders from Pasadena wanted to go to Jerusalem to be able to pass that information on, and God said, no, it is not time for that to be. So here we are now, quite a few years later, and what are we going to do now? Should we go to Jerusalem, and should we get something going? And I will tell you this, that that's going to happen when God sees that it's time to do so, and he will send. And most of us know that there are going to be two witnesses in Jerusalem preaching and teaching to the world, warning the world for what is yet to come, and warning them what we've warned them for the last 60-some-odd years in our lives, personally here, and your lives too as well, which is almost tattoos for some of you. So it's just a matter of realizing that time is going on, and we have to recognize that God has to be involved. And he will, even if he has to come down and walk and talk and communicate at the physical level. He could do that individually or collectively. He could even send an angel right now and stand up here and teach the truth. And we would know that it would be an angel of God, because the truth will be taught. And no one else from the spirit world will teach the truth. They teach the wrong thing in the wrong direction, such as the satanic arena and the bad angels that are around too as well. So we have to recognize that God does allow that to happen to stimulate and to see whether or not we're going to stay faithful, that we're going to use the Spirit of God in our minds to stay faithful and loyal to God no matter what, no matter even unto death. That's what we do. But we don't do it in a radical way or in a way which actually prompts people to want to kill us. We don't want to commit suicide by saying something, you know, that would lead to that. But if it comes down to preaching the truth, no matter what happens, we know that God will be with us no matter what we do if we preach the truth. If we preach the truth, and if we preach and live by his laws and commandments and statutes and judgments. That's the answer God is looking for. So when we see what we're going to be doing in the future to be part of the 144,000, and any of the other groups that God may specially call us for, we're going to glorify God in all that we do. And when we do that, then we are for certain looking for the answer to be a king and a priest ruling with Jesus Christ on the new world that's to come.